This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning. You are listening to The Morning Run. It's 7:05 a.m. on Wednesday, the 20th of July. I'm Shazana Mokhtar with Wong Xiaoning. In half an hour, we're going to discuss the economic implications of extreme weather patterns, such as the heat waves that we're currently seeing in Europe and Asia. But as always, let's kick off the morning with a look at how global markets closed overnight.
Wow. My breath is basically just been taken away by markets because it's one day down and then it's another day up, and the Dow and the S&P and the Nasdaq all had great days. So the Dow was up 2.4%, S&P 500 up 2.8%, and the Nasdaq up a whopping 3.1%. Meanwhile, in Asia, not so good. Nikkei was only up 0.7%. Hang Seng was down 0.9%. Shanghai was flat, so was the FBM KLCI, while the Straits Times Index in Singapore was down 0.1%.
So for some thoughts on where markets are heading and really why, we speak to Jack Kuzi, Director for Strategy at VFS Group in Sydney. Jack, good morning. Thanks for joining us. Now, if we look at how U.S. markets closed overnight, the Nasdaq jumped a whopping 3%, but it's still down 25% on a year-to-date basis. What do you think? Is this a dead cat bounce, or is the worst over for tech?
It's clear skies, ladies. It's clear skies ahead to the rest of the year.
For how long, Jack? For how long?
I'm starting to feel a turn, actually. I really do. I know there's still some negative news and we're in the midst of earnings. I'm sure we're going to talk about Netflix, which wasn't a great report, but it was better than expected. I think, you know, we've talked about this for the last couple of weeks. Valuations are quite low. I think we're starting to see some type of peak inflation. We are seeing a stubborn oil price start to lever down. You know, there is some move for some economic growth in some areas of the global economy. And we do have a lot of issues ahead of us. But, you know, I think buyers are starting to look at the market and say, well, you know, am I buying for the long term here? Can I expect growth over that long term? And that's certainly starting to see some people come in. And it was a good day for the Nasdaq last night. It was a great day and a great day for markets. But look, I think, like you said, one day up, one day down. I think we're going to continue to see volatility, but I expect the second half of the year to be better than the first half of the year. And I think tech's going to be a leader in that sector.
Okay, Jack, I'm going to ask you whether you're running up the hill with Netflix. I don't know whether you got that analogy, but Basically they've released their second quarter earnings yesterday. The shares gained in after-hours trading despite having lost 1 million customers in the first half of this year. Why the euphoria now?
Yeah, and I get it. Stranger Things. I was a bit disappointed with the season, I must say, but they certainly had a good one in terms of the user growth that they expected. Look, it was a better-than-expected report in terms of the losses. There are still some massive headwinds for the company, but there are positives for the company. I think this introduction of ad revenue in this lower-tier type, I think, can be good if they can execute it right. Now, they do have no history of running ads on their platform, but they've certainly got the help of Microsoft to do that. And they do have a massive user base that spends a lot of hours on the platform. So if they can execute it right, I think this could be a good revenue stream for them. What we've also seen out of the company is that they've cut a lot of expenses over the last couple of quarters, and I think that will assist them going forward. So better than expected. I think their focus on big budget films is going to be good for them. I continue to point to their massive wall of content that they've built over the last 7 or 8 years. I think that'll hold them in good stead to hold user bases. And I think global revenue outside of the US is still going to be a big lever that they can jump on. They've got about 220 million subscribers worldwide. What we know about the world, I'll turn off my email, sorry about that. What we know about the world is there is a lot of growth around the world in terms of that medium class income. They should be able to lever on that. So I think you're going to see a choppy couple of quarters, but I still like the company in terms of its future growth and its staple in terms of entertainment around households around the world.
Okay, let's turn our attention now to the semiconductor sector, because we see the Biden administration, they seem quite intent on limiting investments made by American chip makers into China in return for government subsidies. So how do you think U.S. semiconductor companies feel about these restrictions?
Yeah, it's a big move. I mean, we talk about this big chip bill, and we're seeing chip bills all around the world now. So, you know, you saw Japan come in with subsidies. the Europeans are talking about a chip bill there to try to bring in domestic production, locally homegrown. So this is an interesting move. And this is, you know, this is a move in many moves by the US, which would go back to the Trump administration on trying to wall themselves off or limit Chinese chip making. So, you know, you've seen a couple of companies that are in favor for it. I mean, it's very difficult for them to bring all that domestic production back home because they simply don't have the factories or the manufacturing base to do it or the highly skilled labor in order to produce it. So, you know, I don't think they're going to do it in one fell swoop, but they are certainly making moves to ensure that they limit or make as much chips at home. But this is a, you know, a 3 to 5 to 10 year play rather than a 12 to 18 month play, which doesn't really necessarily help them right here, right now with the chip limitation we've seen all around the world. So, you know, another move in a big chessboard that's being played around chip production. And to tell your viewers about why, or your listeners about why chips are so important, I mean, they're a basis of everything that we do. You know, you talk about the new age of artificial intelligence, robotics, the fourth industrial revolution, or even just limited things like mouses and screens. They all rely on chips, and they are one of the most important, if not most important, resources in the world.
Are you still a bull in the chip making space? Because recently there was a result coming out from one of the top chip makers, and they basically hint towards perhaps even oversupply.
Yeah, I mean, you get mixed stories, don't you? You know, we still talk about car companies limiting production on the production of their cars because they can't get chips. You talk about these continued supply chain issues out of China. You know, I still think we're in the midst of a bullish phase on chips. So I like chip makers. They've come down, you know, a lot along with the market, but I'm quite bullish. And when you're getting governments around the world investing massively in chips and their chip companies, you got to be bullish when, you know, there's the argument, don't fight the Fed. Well, you know, don't fight government spending. And they're certainly spending on chip making all around the world, which should only help these companies going forward. So I'm still bullish that sector.
Yeah, even though the fact that Arm has delayed its IPO plans, I mean, is there some, does it really matter what kind of chip companies, or do we need to dissect it?
Yeah, I mean, look, in terms of the low-end chips, I mean, China's started to really get a kind of cornering of the market. But in terms of your high-end chips, well, you know, really, there's only a handful of companies that can continue to produce those. I think if you wanted to really look at a sector, I think the foundries are where you want to go, those that actually produce the chips rather than design the chips. I mean, there are only a few names there. You've got your TSMC out of Taiwan, which is a full-in maker. You've got USMC, and you've got Global Foundries in the US, which produces a lot of chips in the US, which I think will benefit from that chips, from that chip bill you're going to see. So if you wanted to pick a sector, I think foundries are still a great way to look because it's limited competition, and you have a lot of designers moving into that market. So that's, if I had to pick one sector I wanted to look at, it'd be foundries within that chip production line.
And meanwhile, can we take a look to your neck of the woods, Jack? Have Australian consumer spirits been dampened by the RBA's recent aggressive rate hike? What significant price increases have you seen that may signal cloudier days for the Australian economy, if any?
I mean, the price peak is everywhere. I mean, meat's up, you know, groceries are up. You know, obviously we're feeling the petrol hike like everybody else. And certainly we're starting to see a lot of grimness here in Australia. You know, we're very geared to our property. We're very geared to our property prices. And if you look at some of the clearance rates that we've seen over the last couple of months, they've been, you know, below 50 for a few weeks. So it's certainly starting to look a little bit like we might be going through a recessionary period now, if we're not in a recessionary period already. The one thing that's holding us up is the labor market is still quite tight, but we're starting to see that ease as we start to open up immigration that we haven't had for the last 2.5 to 3 years. So, yeah, like the rest of the world, there are a lot of headwinds facing our economy and the consumer is starting to feel it. And you're starting to see a tightening of that belt. You know, restaurants aren't as peak as they were. Domestic travel has started to, I guess, wane a little bit. And a big part of that is, you know, our domestic flyers are starting to increase prices and cut flights. So, we're feeling it like everybody else, and we're part of a global economy, and I think we'll run through those waves as everybody else does.
All right, Jack. Thanks very much for speaking to us today. That was Jack Kuzi, Director for Strategy at VFS Group, giving us his take on some of the trends that he sees moving markets in the days and weeks ahead. Ending the conversation there with a look at the Australian economy and pointing out that the lucky country, too, is feeling a lot of the pressures that the rest of the world is feeling in terms of inflation and the like. But let's take a look at Netflix, which we also touched upon with our conversation with Jack. They announced that they lost fewer subscribers than anticipated. So they lost subscribers, but it's less than what everyone thought, and markets loved that.
Yeah, the share price was running up the hill, literally. So it jumped 7% in after-hours trading, basically because they lost only 1 million subscribers during the 3 months ending June 30th versus what they actually guided, which was actually 2 million subscribers. So markets were like, phew, this is much better than we expected. Now, revenue grew 9% to about $8 billion, below the analyst estimates of $8.04 billion, though. And the company said that revenue would have increased by 13% if not for forex changes. So I think if we look at the market, though, it's a bit still, I'm not sure whether analysts have changed their numbers, probably digesting it as it came out late yesterday evening in the US. So currently still 16 buys, 29 holds, and 7 sells. Consensus target price for this stock, $260. Like I said, this morning it closed $201, but of course up 7% in after-hours trading.
All right. Whether they still have that stickiness moving forward is something we'll be watching closely.
Very important. We need to keep an eye on how well they'll do after they start showing ads on Netflix. Because, yes, you as a consumer can opt to pay less for Netflix, but you'll have to watch the advertisements. Now, I wonder whether this cannibalizes their business, though.
All right, 7:18 in the morning. We're heading into some messages, and then after that, we're going to discuss the changes to the National Forestry Act that was passed by Parliament this week. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.